Hello, my name is Pastor Jeffrey Bonnock, and thank you so much for joining us today once again as we as God's people gather together and take a few moments out to remember God's beautiful promises to us and be filled with his hope once again. As we begin, we'll take just a few moments to remind you that we recognize that there are a lot of people in need right now, a lot of things happening, and maybe you are one of those individuals, or maybe someone you know is in need. If anyone is, we would ask that you would help us to help them as a congregation. You can contact us. The best way is, first of all, to contact Sally Wallner. She's really organizing a group of volunteers. Maybe you'd like to volunteer to help. You could do that as well. Or people who need help, she's organizing those efforts as well. So you can contact her. Or you can contact really the church office or any one of the pastors. You just call the office, use one of our extensions, or just dial the operator, and she will get that information to whoever needs it as well. Also, many ways to contact. You can contact us through the webpage, also through many of our online connections as well. Feel free to utilize those. On many of those, you'll also find the daily devotions that are taking place, and any worship services, and feel free to share those with anyone you'd like to share them with as well. And then finally, if you're interested too in financially supporting the ministry, continuing to do that, there are a number of ways to do that. You could just mail in your envelope. Many people have been doing that. You can give online through stpaulmuskego.org, or you can also text to give, and that number is also on the screen. Keep in mind too that this is a time when many people are going to be in need, and so those gifts that you give, they can also be used to help others in those needs too, as they happen. So, just a reminder too that Pastor Peter Panitsky is doing his daily devotion, and you can tune in on that. Just a wonderful opportunity just to gather together around God's Word every day as his people and be encouraged once again. Thank you very much again for joining us, and God's richest blessings as we worship together.
Anchor holds within the veil.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. The Apostle Paul writes to the Romans, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Jesus gives us this comfort. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die."
Even though we have these powerful promises of God, we fall prey to fear, doubts, and overwhelming grief when death stares us in the face. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Fully aware of the gravity of our spiritual weakness and the eternal consequences of our sin, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us.
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin. For faithless worrying and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do, you should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. In his great mercy, God made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through his called servant. I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven, as we await your return, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord.
His oath is covenant and blood. Support me in the raging flood. When every earthly prop gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, clothed in his righteousness alone, all blessed to stand before his throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
God of all grace, you sent your Son Jesus to destroy the power of death and to open the kingdom of heaven to all believers.
Make us certain that because he lives, we too shall live.
Comfort us with your promise that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, shall be able to separate us from your love which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We pray through Jesus Christ, your Son our Lord. He lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
So turn to the Word of God. Our first lesson for today comes from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 11. And here we hear that even in the midst of their sufferings and trial, God's people have hope because they know that their God is Abba, Father. Romans chapter 8. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you will live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. This is the word of our God. We continue now with the psalm of the day, Psalm 116. We will sing the psalm together.
Of the Lord in the land of the living. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice, he heard my cry for mercy, because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. The Lord is gracious and righteous. When I was in great need, he saved me. I will walk in the presence of the Lord, in the land of the living. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will walk in the presence of the Lord, in the land of the living.
Our gospel lesson for today comes from the Gospel of John, John chapter 11, beginning at verse 17. It is the account of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, showing his great power even over death. John chapter 11. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Dropping down to verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took the stone away. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. This is the gospel of our Lord. We continue singing the next hymn, hymn 167, Jesus Christ, My Sure Defense.
My sure defense and my Savior now is living. Knowing this, my confidence rests upon the hope he's giving. Though the night of death be fraught, still with many an anxious thought, my Redeemer lives, I too unto life shall waken. Endless joy my Savior gives, shall my courage then be shaken? Shall I fear, or could the head rise and leave his members dead? I shall anew weeping. this body I shall view. God, my Lord, with eyes unclouded, in this flesh then I shall see Jesus Christ eternally.
Greetings, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's begin with a prayer. Abba, Father, breathe on us. Breathe your Holy Spirit, your breath of life, into our lives, into our hearts. May your Spirit guide my mouth that I might proclaim your praise. May your Spirit give us new hearts, new spirits that are eager to trust in you and do your will. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into these dry bones. Amen. I don't know about you, but I am having a hard time ignoring the Johns Hopkins COVID-19 page, where week after week, day after day, you see the tally. And I've had my eye on Russia because they must be doing something right. There is no spread of the virus in Russia. At least that's what it would appear. But recently news is coming out, and the government is admitting that it's growing there as well. That makes me think of the city of Jerusalem at the time of Ezekiel. It was still a beautiful city. It seemed that nothing was wrong there. They were suffering no infection of sin. Oh, it was true. There were those people in exile in Babylon. In fact, Ezekiel was one of the young leaders who were already there in exile. But in Jerusalem, life pretty much went on as normal. The exile had affected some people, but not most people, yet. God called the prophet Jeremiah to speak to the people still in Jerusalem. He called the prophet Ezekiel to speak to the people in exile. Both foretold the coming destruction of Jerusalem. But no one believed it. Their ministry was pretty much ignored. The Lord told Ezekiel as his ministry began, "The house of Israel is not willing to listen to you because they are not willing to listen to me. For the whole house of Israel is hardened and obstinate." It is not hard to see some similarities with the events of today. Just as the impact of the prophets in Jerusalem were fading over the generations, it would seem that the impact of the gospel message seems to be fading here in our own country. People are unwilling to listen. They have all that they need, it would seem. They don't need God. And like God said about the Israelites, more and more, I think, we Christians look at the nation around us and say that it is hardened and obstinate. But is the problem really out there someplace? I would encourage you to read Ezekiel chapters 8 through 11 in the next couple of days. There, Ezekiel sees a vision of what happens when God's people see no need for the Lord. The glory of the Lord leaves. Now, archaeology has revealed that there was a spiritual contagion destroying the spiritual life of God's people in Judea and specifically in Jerusalem. Archaeology has discovered all kinds of these Judean pillar figurines. Evidence that there was this spiritual contagion, that even though worship of the Lord was happening in the temple, sacrifices were continuing, there was this contagion that was gradually spreading throughout the city and the country. But in Ezekiel's vision, the Lord reveals this contagion in the temple itself. In the vision, Ezekiel digs through the wall of the temple and he sees the spiritual leaders of God's people worshiping idols. The Lord said to me, "Son of man, have you seen what the elders of Israel are doing in the darkness, each at the shrine of his own idol? They say, 'The Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land.' How vile can it be? They are using the Lord's name, Lord in all capital letters, the Savior God's name. They're saying, 'The Lord, the Savior God doesn't see. The Lord, the Savior God has forsaken the land.'" Could it be that the current pandemic and our nation's response to this pandemic is part of God's call to us, that we Christians search our own hearts, that perhaps there has been a contagion spreading among us, and it's not just the hardness of the hearts out there? Could it be that we too have thought, "The Lord does not see"? Is that what's behind the pandemic of sexual promiscuity and sexual addiction that is just as prominent in the Christian church as in the world out there? Could that feeling, "The Lord does not see," be behind the pandemic of decreasing interest in church, church attendance, and the family altar, family devotions? Could it be that we're saying, "The Lord has forsaken us, and we need to find our salvation in something else"? All the things that keep us incredibly busy, those will be the things that give us that feeling of security and salvation. The Lord does not see. Could that contagion be also present in us? Could that be the cause of this pandemic of judgmentalism that affects God's church? So that the okay boomer is prevalent in Christian hearts and minds, and the judgment of older generations, pretty sure that those millennials and Gen Zs, they're just not going to measure up. You know, that judgmentalism that just drives the world around us farther and farther from the Christian church. Could it be that there is a pandemic that was present in God's church, and God is using the events of today just to remind us that the Lord does see? What happened to God's church in Ezekiel's time? In that vision in Ezekiel chapter 8, he sees the vision of the glory of the Lord. Now, you can read about the glory of the Lord, this detailed description that Ezekiel gives in Ezekiel chapter 1. It's this visible manifestation of the Savior God. He saw the glory of the Lord in Ezekiel chapter 1. And in Ezekiel chapters 8 through 11, he sees that glory of the Lord on the move. He sees that glory of the Lord in the temple shining brightly, there with all of his saving presence. But then he sees the glory of the Lord beginning to move out of the temple, to the front of the temple, and ultimately the glory of the Lord leaves the temple and the city itself. And when the glory of the Lord departs the city, that's when hopelessness reigns. The judgment of God is only a matter of time. For the next 6 more years, Ezekiel prophesies and no one listens. And finally, the judgment comes and the city is destroyed. In the 12th year of our exile, in the 10th month of the 5th day, a man who had escaped Jerusalem came to me and said, "The city has fallen." The city has fallen. Could that be the message that God is saying to us? The city has fallen. I'll be honest, I look to the future, and there's a sense of hopelessness that is present in my heart. I look to the future of my own family, and I'm frightened for the health of my family members and my own health. I look to the future of my finances, and I wonder what's going to happen. And I look to the future of my church family, and I wonder what's going to happen to God's church. Life is very different, and the future is uncertain. And so hopelessness can really set in. How many are going to get sick? How many are going to lose their jobs? How much depression and despair can some of my dear brothers and sisters, people whom I love, how much can they endure? Could it be that the Lord has allowed his glory, at least our understanding and appreciation of his glory, to leave the church for just a moment so that we can recognize that apart from him, we are a people drained of hope, where the glory of the Lord has departed, hopelessness reigns. In our Old Testament lesson for today, Ezekiel sees this hopelessness of God's people in a vision of dry bones, a valley full of dry bones. And at the end of the vision, it becomes clear those dry bones are a vision of the hopelessness of God's people, because God, with his saving presence, had departed from his people. Let me read this account to you. It's in Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.'" So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. There was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. And breath and wind is the same word as spirit. Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. I have done it, declares the Lord. The valley of dry bones, our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. Hopelessness reigns when the glory of the Lord has departed. Can these bones live? Can our hope for the future be rekindled? Can hopelessness reign in our hearts? Ezekiel says, sovereign Lord, you alone know. The Lord knows the future. And he calls upon us. God's prophets of today, to prophesy to the dry bones that we see among us, that the dry bones in our own hearts and the dry bones in the people around us, prophesy to these dry bones that they might have the breath of life and live. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is where hopefulness reigns. Can the sovereign Lord open up the graves and bring hope to people without hope? The open graves of the past are what give us hope. Throughout the Old Testament, God's people were told, direct your attention to an open grave. That's what the Red Sea was. The Israelites were dead in their slavery to Egypt. And by mighty acts of God, the Savior God, the Sovereign God, the Lord in all capital letters, the Savior God sends the 10 plagues. He rescues them from the Egyptians, and then they're brought safely through the Red Sea. That grave destroys their enemies. But the grave of the Red Sea is open. And God's people are saved. Is ours a God who can breathe life into the dry bones? He did it for the Israelites. Can these dry bones live? Can we be filled with hope? These promises about the Israelites coming back and receiving the land again after exile, after the city had been destroyed, those prophecies were fulfilled. God opened the grave of the exile in Babylon, and he brought his people back, and they enjoyed life in the new land, the land of promise. And not just physical life, they enjoyed a new spiritual life. This is one of what's amazing about archaeology. Archaeology has so much confirmed what our God says. Before the exile, God's people were infected with this horrible pandemic of worshiping these household gods, these Judean pillar figurines. But archaeology shows that after 586, the destruction of Jerusalem, you don't see those gods anywhere throughout the promised land. God's people came back. They came back not just from exile, but from spiritual death. Breathe, breath of life. Breathe in us that hope that you open graves and dry bones live. That's what's so beautiful about the gospel lesson for today. Martha says, no, Jesus, my brother's already stinking. Don't open the grave. Can these dry bones live? Lazarus, come out. And he lives. We see open graves of the past that give us hope and confidence for our future. And in just 2 weeks, we are going to celebrate, we as God's church, whether we are able to gather together in one place, we are united with Christians all over the world, and we are going to celebrate that a grave was opened. The tomb was opened, the tomb was empty, Jesus was victorious. Can these dry bones live? Can we have hope when we are filled with so much fear? Look at the past, brothers and sisters. The graves are open. The dry bones lived. And your dry bones live. You've been brought to a new life. The Spirit of God is living in you and enabling you to cry out, Abba, Father. In just a few minutes, we're going to join together in praying a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, that Christians across the ages claim as their own, our Father, Abba, Father. The Spirit of God has brought you to this marvelous new life. Can these bones live? Sovereign Lord, you alone know. And he says to us, prophesy to these dry bones. Let the Spirit of God speak through us and give hope. Hope that our God is not going to forsake us, as sometimes it appears. Oh, we have reason for dry bones. Reasons for fear. The fear of sickness and the fear of death. The fear that we won't be able to pay our bills. The fear that we won't have food on the table. The fear that life will never be like it was. And those fears do dry out our bones. Let's just be honest. Every one of us has reason to have fears. Drained of hope. But take courage, my dear brothers and sisters. The sovereign Lord, who's shown himself to be the Savior of God's people in the past, is our Savior too. If it is God's will that we suffer, he remains our dear Father. If it is God's will that he calls some of us home, he still remains our dear Abba Father. If we suffer loss, he is simply reminding us that those things, even life itself, is not our source of hope. Our source of hope? The glory of the Lord has appeared among us. The Savior God came. He raised Lazarus from the grave. Many people believed on him because of that. You have seen something greater. Jesus has raised himself from the grave. He is the glory of the Lord, and he lives among us. The Apostle Paul knew that. That's why he could make this marvelous confession in our epistle lesson for today. May this be our confession as well. Please join with me in reading. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And God's people said, Amen. And let's pray. Lord, breathe on us your Holy Spirit. Make these dry bones within us live with confidence. And use us, Lord, to prophesy to the dry bones around us, that they might see your Son as the glory of the Lord, and that they would be filled with hope. Amen.
With hope revived by the Holy Spirit breathing in us the truths, let's take a moment as God's people to confess God's beautiful truths and the promises fulfilled among us through him. We use today the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We bow our hearts in prayer. Lord God, breathe your Spirit into our hearts and lives that we might live with hope. We place into your care all who are sick or hospitalized, those listed in our worship folder, and those known to us personally. those who are already diagnosed with COVID-19, and those who will be in the days ahead. We ask that you would spare their lives and grant them healing. Be with their families as they seek to comfort and care for them. Comfort those who have lost loved ones. We pray especially for the families of Nancy Beyer and Eileen Schnell, whom you called home to yourself in heaven. Give them faith to celebrate that Eileen and Nancy are now at home with you, Lord. Provide for our daily needs and open our eyes to the needs of others. Use us, our abilities, and our generosity as part of the way you answer the prayers of those around us. Give wisdom to our elected leaders. Give peace of body and mind to our police officers, firefighters, and paramedics who are called to help those who are sick. Protect our men and women in the armed forces, and especially a son of the congregation and graduate of our grade school who is being deployed overseas this week. Provide our health care providers with the tools and the skills necessary to serve the sick in our nation and in our world. And now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Finally, gracious Lord, thank you for being present among us. Give us confidence that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And in his name we join to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We continue by singing hymn 419, If God Himself Be For Me.
Tyrant's anger shall
makes me rejoice and sing.
Dear Father in heaven, with your gift of a Savior, you restored hope for our fallen world and brought joy and glory in your name. We thank you for the good news that you have reconciled the world to yourself through your Son.
But this good news is not for us alone. In this climate of social isolation, move us to connect with family, friends, and neighbors through the means available to us, proclaiming your peace that surpasses all understanding.
You're the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen.
Amen.
Once again, thank you so much for joining us in worship today. We are a people of hope, renewed by God's Holy Spirit and the many promises that God has fulfilled over and over again in our lives. And it's our prayer that he may use us now to bring that hope to the world around us. And we certainly, as your church, stand ready to help you, assist you in any way possible. Once again, if you need anything or know of anybody who needs something, please contact us, let us know so that we can reach out and provide that help. Again, thanks for joining us and God's richest blessings on your week.